Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Hi, I'm your host, Bob Scrivano, here every week for 21 years on KFBK. So glad to have you with me. Thanks so much for joining me. Let me get some stuff out of the way I have to say all the time. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one who knows what they're talking about. I'm not securities licensed, don't want to be. I am not a CPA. If you want tax advice, contact a CPA. And everything I talk about here is, I have a California insurance license. I have a legal document assistant license recorded and registered in Sacramento County, California, that allows me to prepare legal documents, including trust, wills, powers of attorney, and other things at your direction and request. License number 2004-05, Sacramento County, expires in August of this year. And then I have to renew it. What else? And again, everything I talk about here is my opinion only. It's important I say that. Believe me, it's important that I say that. Thanks so much for joining me. We're going to talk about some different stuff today, but if you got my newsletter this week, or you watched my Facebook Lives, which you should, or if you went to my website, which you should, and I'll give you all that information in a little while, you'll see that my theme this week was Don't Die Without It. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, and then we're going to talk about what happens if you die with it. That will make more sense in a little while. So don't die without it, and then and what happens if you die with it, and that will make sense in just a little bit. I had a thing here somewhere. I must have left it at the office. A new study on how many people have died in nursing homes, but I left it at the office. And I'm sorry that I did. I'm looking to see if it's in my briefcase, but of course, I didn't put it in my briefcase. So, it was basically half of all the people that have died in the United States, 40% to half, and in some states more than half, of the people that died in care homes. So the issue always is, you know, what's the don't die without it? Well, it's don't die or become sick without the right documents in place. I have somebody right now that's trying to make end-of-life decisions for somebody. Luckily, they have the right documents in place because I did them, and they're able to manage all of this. One of the children actually had to fly in from another state, and he can assist his parent, the well parent, in dealing with all of this. You can't imagine how many things there are to deal with. This is someone that went from a hospital or from home to a hospital to a care home and probably will not leave the care home. And all the decisions that had to be made in 48 hours once the child got here, you cannot begin. In fact, I wish I could have tape recorded the child's phone calls, because the child probably called me 15 times. And every time the child would call me, the child would say, I can't tell you how hard this is. I can't believe how hard this is. I can't believe the decisions I'm having to make that I never thought I was gonna. I can't believe I'm doing the things that I'm doing. I can't believe how hard this is. And he said it over and over and over and over and over again. And every time the child would say that, I would say, I know. I've been telling people for 30 years, there's nothing more difficult than taking care of a frail, elderly, ill, failing adult. Nothing. It has nothing to do with love. It has nothing to do with whether you love your mom and your dad or your spouse. It is so hard, you cannot begin to understand it, except for those of you who have done it. And I wish this show was live, and this is one of the times I wish it was live. And that's because I could take calls, and I would get calls. I would get lots of phone calls on the radio from people who are going, Bob, I went through it. I'm here to tell your audience, you can't believe how difficult it is. You can't believe the things we had to do. You can't be, yeah, and I'm going, yeah, I can. Yeah, I can. Who can't believe it is my audience. The other thing I want to say, and then I want to get to don't die without it, is making sure you have the right documents. But every single, you know, half the people who've died have died in care homes. My question has been for the last 3 months when I first said they shouldn't be, never mind, I don't want to go there about what's happening in nursing homes and care homes that never should have been allowed to happen except for the governors of states who allowed it to happen. Because states control care homes. They license them. They control them. We already know that in New York, that's one of the articles I left at the office. There was a big article last week about the huge mistake that New York made by demanding that hospitals, because they were afraid of overcrowding, transferred people, sick people, to nursing homes. And that's where this exploded in New York and New Jersey and Illinois and Michigan and other states. 40% to half the people that have died were older and died in care homes. If I tried to make it up, I couldn't make it up. I couldn't make it up. But it's the truth. So don't die without it. And again, every single one of these people that died, the families all thought somewhere in the last 5 years, they said to themselves, well, I don't have to worry about this right now because it's not going to happen to me. I'm okay. I'm only 82 years old and I'm healthy, or I'm 78 years old, or my dad only has a little dementia, or mom's diabetes isn't so bad, or dad's COPD and congestive heart failure aren't so bad. But, you know, and for years, these people have been putting it off and 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 putting it off because they always thought they had tomorrow. If there's one thing, I'm not here to sound like the prophet of doom, folks, but I was right. And I've been right for the 30 years I've been doing this. Everybody thinks they have tomorrow. 90,000 people in the United States now know that they don't have tomorrow. That's not counting the people that are ill or will get ill or will get sick. They all thought they had tomorrow, only to find out they didn't. And now they're going to deal with the aftermath. They're going to deal with the probates. They're going to deal with the trust administration if they had one. They're going to deal with picking a funeral home. They're going to deal with what to do. They're going to deal with how to get family here. They're going to deal with memorial services. They're going to deal with selling the house. They're going to deal with all the stuff that they never thought they were going to have to deal with. And the reason they're doing that is because, well, you know, Bob, I can't tell you how many people have sat in my office in 30 years and said, well, you know, everything you're talking about is really important and we really should get around to it. But, you know, we're going to think about it. We're just going to think about it for a while. That's one of the dumbest things people, well, we're going to think, what are you going to think about? Whether you're going to get old and die? Whether you're going to get old and sick? Whether your mom's going to get old? Whether your dad's dementia is going to become so bad that he doesn't know what planet he's living on? Well, Bob, you're very grumpy today. Yes, because in a bad way, I have to say it, I was right. And I've been right for 30 years. And this has only taken what was normal and accelerated it and condensed it and put it in a petri dish for the whole world to see. And it's happening in other countries, not just here. We live here, so that's what we're, you know, confronting. And I knew it was going to happen in February, early March, when I started talking about it on this radio show, that this was going to happen, that care homes were going to become ground zero for all of this, and I was exactly 100% correct. I'm not proud of that. So don't die without it. Don't get sick without it. How much longer are those of you that are thinking about it? I'm still trying to figure out what the it is. All the time I ask people, say, oh, I'm going to think about it. I said, what's it? And they said, well, what do you mean? Well, you're going to think about it. What's the it you're thinking about? Well, I'm confused. Well, you're going to think about it. So what's it? What's this thing you're going to... Well, we need more time. Well, what if you don't have time? Well, no, Bob, we always have time. Yeah, you know, you're just a doom and gloom kind of... No, I'm a realist. I've been watching this stuff for 30 years, folks. I've been talking about it for 21 years here on KFBK, and I haven't varied in my message. I don't know whether I have tomorrow, and neither do you. And to pretend otherwise is a fool's folly. I'd like to think I have tomorrow. I don't know if I have tomorrow. I'd like to think my wife has tomorrow. I don't know if she has tomorrow. I'd like to think that family members that I love have tomorrow. I don't know that. Do you? And you're sitting there watching that loved one in your family who's frail and elderly and frail and falls and can't remember what drugs to take and doesn't remember names and is frail and falls and can't remember, and I could keep just repeating this. And you're thinking to yourself, the family, well, we have tomorrow. Okay, let's assume you don't have until tomorrow. Then you're faced, these families are now going to be faced with two things. They're going to be faced with no trust, and they're going to be looking at probates. In some states, probate is easy. In California, it's not. And if you die intestate, which is you don't have a will, now you really have a mess. Especially you got his kids, her kids, a second marriage, you got her assets, his assets. You don't know what he's got. You don't know where it is. You don't know whatever it is. You don't know this. You don't know that. You don't know, I inherit assets from my mom's estate, but she died 10 years ago. I don't know if I ever put those in my trust or will. I don't know what I've done. I don't know what mom did because nobody ever wanted to talk about it because it's uncomfortable. I'm not going to go through the probate process, but if you want to go through it, fine, just Google probate in California and have a good time. It's a long, drawn-out court procedure, and you're not in charge of it any step of the way. The court is. The court may appoint investigators, more may demand accounting, may not, if you named your son Johnny as the executor. The court may not think Johnny is going to be a good executor, and so the court decides that Johnny's not going to be the executor. I mean, I don't even want to go through all the stuff with probate. I don't do probates, folks. But trust me, if you Google, and by the way, probates are public record. If you Google probates, I don't even know what the average time in California is. The last time I heard it was about a year and a half for a simple probate. The minimum amount of time is right around 9-10 months. That means your family doesn't have control of your stuff for a year, year and a half, 2 years. I talked to an attorney once that was involved in a probate. It was ongoing for 8 years because of a family fight. 8 years! Who do you think got all the money out of that? You guessed. Now, the attorney was happy. He got paid. He kept trying to close it, but the family fight went on forever. And people come out of the woodwork, so I don't want to talk about probates other than to say, if you have a will, it's probably going through probate. And if you don't have a will, it's probably going through probate unless you have a trust. Now, well, if I have a trust, Bob, I have a trust. We did a trust. We have a trust. Okay, lots of people are finding out that their trust didn't have provisions, enough provisions to deal with frailty issues. And they're finding that out all over the United States right now, including California. They're finding out that their trust didn't have frailty language in it that allowed someone to deal with mom or dad before they died. After mom or dad dies, there's a successor trustee, and they can deal with it maybe and all that kind of stuff, but sometimes they can't and all that kind of stuff. So don't die without it means you better have the right documents in place, and if you die with it, you better have the right documents in place. And they better say what you thought they said. I want to talk a little bit about something I don't think I've ever talked about before on the radio. I don't think about it. I may have had an attorney on from time to time that talked about it. But lots of people think that they have a trust. And when mom and dad die, they just give everything to the kids and life goes on. No. Did you know there's a whole probate code section on trust administration in California? Did you know that? How many of you knew that? How many knew that there was a whole section on in the probate code on trust administration in California. Did you know that? There's a whole bunch of stuff in probate codes. If you Google probate codes, probate for trust, probate codes for trust in California, you'll get a whole bunch of stuff. I think it's probate code 16,000 or something like that that deals with and thereafter. I don't remember all of it. It may be 15,000. Don't just go Google it. But there's a whole section on trust administration. And it's basically the same thing you have to do with a probate, except you don't have to go to court to do it necessarily. So, what are some of the things that people now, I've been involved in several trust administrations. And suffice it to say, they're time consuming. I don't want to say they're burdensome, because you can get it done if you have the right thing going. In each case, I had to have somebody help me with different parts of it, including, in some cases, attorneys, even though there was a trust. So, what are some of the things you have to do in a trust administration? And by the way, if you're going through this right now, I might be able to help, so get a hold of me. Let me give you my contact information. If you want to call me here in Sacramento, it's 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Even in Sacramento, just call the 800 number. Or you can go to my website, Assets, Assets, Andaging, assetsandaging.com. You can email me there. My phone number is there. My contact information is there. You can go to my Facebook page and you can watch my Facebook live videos. I will probably be doing a Facebook live video on this in the near future. The problem is this takes a little while. It's going to take the better part of the rest of the show to go through all of this. Just the outline for trust administration. So 800-999-8007 or assetsandaging.com, or you can go to facebook.com/assetsandaging. You can go to my webpage and you can sign up for my free newsletter. You can become a member. I just put some new videos up for members only. You can, and I'm going to be doing one. In fact, I need to do one. I'm writing myself a note right now to do a video on trust administration. Okay, I'm going to do a video for members only on trust administration. Okay, so mom and dad died, or dad died, and mom died a long time ago. I don't care. Mom and dad, grandma aren't around anymore, and they had a trust. And you're the trustee of the trust. You're one of the kids. Whoever it is, you're the successor trustee of the trust, and mom and dad are dead. I'm not even going to touch on what you have to do with the trust if mom and dad are incapacitated. That's a whole nother level of stuff. I'm just talking about you have a trust, you think there's nothing you have to do. I'm telling you there's a lot you have to do if you do it right. I'm just going to go through some things in no particular order. And remember, every trust is different. This is not intended to be legal advice. It's my opinion only. This information is available on the internet or by going to the probate codes in California. But it's just, I'm just going to go through things I've experienced in the past. And when I've done been the trustee of a trust, the successor trustee, I have files that fill up more than one banker's box in just doing trust administration. Okay, the first thing you have to do is you have to notify all the beneficiaries and all the potential beneficiaries of the death of mom and dad, the grantor, the trustor, the settlor. You have to notify everyone. You even have to notify people you left out. Did you know that? You have to notify any potential heir beneficiaries and any heirs at law that mom and dad are dead. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. You have to notify them in writing. You can't just make a phone call and say, hey, Fred, mom died. You have to obtain, and it has to be in writing. You have to do it. You have to send it out. I think you have to get registered mail or whatever. You have to do all this stuff. And again, these aren't in any particular order. The next thing you have to do is get an IRS tax ID number because mom and dad are dead. You can't use their social security number anymore. You have to get a tax ID number. You have to get a tax ID number from the IRS. You have to file a final income tax return. Now, mom died this year. Mom was the last one alive. Mom died this year. So you have to file a tax return to mom this year. And then when the trust closes next year, you have to file a final closing return next year too. This is going to be a long list, folks. And again, it's in no particular order. And it's not intended to be complete. I'm going to say this about 10 times, nor should it be taken as any form of advice. Every case is different. Okay? These are the standard rules that you go through when you're doing a trust administration. You have to file a death tax return if there's one due. Most CPAs will tell you file one anyhow. What is it, a 541? Most CPAs will tell you file one anyhow, even if you don't owe any taxes. Just to prove you didn't owe any taxes, so that if you later on, what's the current estate tax, $11.5 million or whatever it is, but you may have to file a death tax or estate tax return. You have to file a trust income tax return for as long as the trust is open. So if it takes you 2 years, this year, next year, and the year after to distribute all the assets, to find them and distribute them, you have to file a tax return for every year the trust is open. You're probably not going to do it. You're going to hire an accountant to do it. Unless it's really, really, really simple. You may or may not have to publish a legal notice for creditors. Because you have to notify creditors. You have to notify creditors that dad died. So you have to notify the mortgage company if there's one, or the reverse mortgage company. Just a second. I have to make noise when I'm drinking water. Otherwise, an alarm goes off in the studio. You have to cancel the credit cards, find out is there any balance due, the debit card, the whatever debts there are, the car loan, the furniture loan, the second mortgage. You have to deal with all the creditors. You got to notify them all. What if mom doesn't have enough money to pay the last Visa bill? Then what do you do? Are you going to sell? We'll get to that in a minute. Okay? You have to find all the assets and protect them if you're the trustee. So you have to go out and find all the assets. Do you know where all the assets are for your mom and dad? Do your kids know where all your assets are? They've got to go find them. So what are they going to do? Go through the filing cabinets and look for bank statements? And then they find a Charles Schwab account that you used to have, but you don't have anymore, but they don't know that. That's why family conferences, and I've been involved in a lot of them and moderated them. That's why family conferences are so important. You have to get all, as a trustee, you have to get all the assets together and protect them so that your cousin Julie doesn't come in who was taking care of grandma and clean out the bank account or whoever it is. You may have to, depending on whether or not there was something left out of the trust, you may have to file the will, the pour over will, with the county clerk or the probate court. Because you could have a trust and still have a probate if there were assets that weren't in the trust. That's why I'm on people all the time about making sure your assets are in the trust if they don't have beneficiaries, like life insurance and IRAs and annuities and those kinds of things usually have a beneficiary. But what if your beneficiary on your IRA died and you didn't name a contingent beneficiary? We're going to come back to this. I got to take a break. I almost blew right through the break here. We're going to come back, and I'm going to continue talking about this. Remember, the theme of today's show is don't die without one, and don't die unless you have the right one. So I'll be back in a few minutes. Take a little time. Give me a call. Get in touch with me, and let's make sure that your documents are correct, up to date, and everybody knows what's going on. 800-999-8007, assetsandaging.com. I'll be back in just a couple minutes right after the news and weather and traffic right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Don't go away. Be back in just a few minutes. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. The local show, it's all about the issues of aging. Today we're talking about don't die without it, and if you do die, make sure it's going to work. And today we're talking about trust administration. Lots of people have trust. Again, one of the questions I've been asking through all of this is, in almost every state, it's anywhere between 40 and 50% of all the people who have died in those states died in care homes. And I can't help wondering how many of those people were prepared for that and are now prepared for the onslaught of probates and trust administration and all the other things that they're going to have to do. So today's theme is don't die without it, which is the right documents. And if you do die, make sure that the documents you have, you're prepared for and your family's prepared for and understand. So we're going through the statutory requirements for administrating a trust estate. And they're found in California Probate Code, I think 16,000. I can't remember which title, but you can go Google a trust administration in California and you'll get more information you thought was possible. And if you want to go read the probate code, you can. But all of this stuff I'm talking about today is mandated by codes in California. You can choose to do them or not do them. And some families don't do them and it all goes fine. I'm just talking about what's required. And again, I'm talking about a normal situation, not one where we have a second marriage, his kids, her kids, his assets, her assets. She has something, she has nothing. She's living in the house, but it's his house, and all his kids then want to sell it and all that kind of stuff. We're just talking about simple stuff here. So I've been going through the list. You have to open a bank account for the trust. You may have to open a bank account just to pay bills, not the existing account. You may have to open an after-death account just for the trust. Does the trust give the successor trustee the right to do that? Does the successor trustee have the right in the trust to take over existing accounts that are in the trust after you've marshaled all of them? Different banks have different requirements. Sometimes they want new accounts opened with the tax ID number on them, not mom and dad's social security number. And if you've got six different banks with, you know, you got Bank of America and Wells Fargo and Chase and Capital One and, I don't know, a credit union and all that cut because you learned, you always thought don't put all your eggs in one basket, your kids or whoever is going to have to go to every single bank. Physically go to the bank after they get death certificates. Oh, that's another thing that the trustee has to do is apply, get death certificates. And invariably, people don't get enough of them because they don't want to. I think they're like $40 a piece now. So if you get 10 death certificates, you're looking at $400 or more. Death certificates used to be $10, $7. Now, you know what? I've never figured this out. How much does it cost to print a piece of paper? But that's just me. So never mind. Paying financial and last expenses. So you got to pay for the funeral. You got to pay for any last medical bills because $5,000 of the hospital bill wasn't paid for. Or the care home. Mom was in assisted living at $8,000 a month and she died and you still owe, you got to give 30 days notice. You didn't give 30 days notice, so you owe for this month and you owe for next month. even though mom's not there. Depends on the contract. So who's authorized to deal with that kind of stuff? Who can deal with, paying off the credit cards, as I said, all that kind of stuff. Collecting life insurance proceeds, unless there was a named beneficiary. So let's say mom and dad had a $100,000 policy and they named each other. Or dad named mom. So when dad died, it went to mom, the ownership, because they owned it together, because sometimes they're second to die policies. Did anybody ever change the beneficiary? Is there now going to be a probate with life insurance because nobody ever kept up on the beneficiary? I don't know. I'm just asking. That's why is all this stuff in order. So finding life insurance policies. And I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who called me after mom died. Did mom have life insurance? We don't know. What do you mean you don't know? We don't know if she had any life insurance. We don't know if dad had any life insurance. They were very private about this. They didn't like to talk about it. Determining if you need to open a probate for assets that aren't titled in the name of the trust. I had a client once years ago, long, long, long time ago, had a trust. Everything was, had a house. The house was in the trust. Mom bought a rental and didn't tell anybody about it. Didn't tell any of the kids. Had a rental in her own name. Mom died. Guess what happened to the rental? It had to go through probate. So the kids, thinking everything was hunky-dory, wound up in a probate for over a year, almost a year and a half, probating the house. That was a rental. By the way, there were renters in the house. So how did they deal with that? All the things that come up that everybody thinks they understand and know about are things that come up that people don't know and don't think about. Okay? So determining if there's going to be a notifying banks and financial institutions that mom or dad is dead and that you may have to provide a copy of the trust and the death certificate, not a certification of trust, the whole trust, to prove that you are, in fact, the successor trustee and what your powers are. And then they have to send it to their legal department to decide if you really are going to be the trustee of that brokerage account or that bank account or whatever. Just because it's in the trust doesn't mean that automatically Janie, the successor trustee, the daughter, is now in charge. That's not the way it works. And heaven help you if you have an IRA or a life insurance policy. Sometimes I see life insurance policies in which the beneficiary, pardon me, is the estate of. That's probably going to go through probate, folks. Because they made the beneficiary the estate of. Again, everything I'm talking about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal tax or financial advice. And it's in no particular order and it's not the I'm just going through. I'm just confronted with all these thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are dying and sick in the United States. And I will guarantee you the aftermath of dealing with the death is going to be overwhelming to families. And they never thought about it because it was never going to happen to them. Notifying the VA. If dad was or mom was getting a VA pension or getting aid in attendance or getting what you got to notify the VA. Do you know how long that administrative process takes to get the attention of the VA? If they were on Medi-Cal, you also have to notify the Department of Healthcare Services by law that mom died or dad died while they were on Medi-Cal. I'm not making all this stuff up, folks. You have to check the beneficiaries on IRAs and 401ks to determine if they're eligible to be stretch IRAs or do they just go to the beneficiary? Can the beneficiary take them as a stretch IRA? That says mom left the daughter. Can the daughter roll that over and keep it as an IRA? Everybody has to figure all that stuff out. And if it was with a brokerage house, you have to have the ability to deal with the brokerage house which means submitting a raft of paperwork. You have to go obtain valuations on all property as of the date of death because of the capital gains when property gets sold. So let's say people don't think about this. Not a tax guy, don't give tax advice, my opinion only. The house is worth $300,000 the day mom and dad died, or the last person died. But the house doesn't get sold for a year and a half. A year and a half from now, it's worth $375,000. There may be capital gains taxes due. Talk to your tax guy. But you need to value the property. You need to get values of bank accounts, and you need to get values of IRAs and life insurance, and you need to get, you'll need all of that to file the final estate tax returns if there is one, and evaluation on the house. Not just going, calling up the realtor and saying, how much is the house worth? No, you should go do a formal evaluation of the value of the real estate. What if there's a business? You have to get the business evaluated. So mom and dad owned a little plumbing business, mom and pop plumbing. Not a big business, or they owned a donut store, or they owned, I don't know, a dry cleaners. You have to get an evaluation on the business. Was it a corporation? Was it a subchapter S corporation? What was it? Can they continue operating it? Did their business license end? People have no idea what you have to go through. Everybody thinks that it's just simple. But not necessarily in California, trust me. Let's see, is there an estate tax due? California doesn't have an inheritance tax currently, but they could tomorrow. Is there any federal estate tax due? Now the current exemption is what, $11.5 million per person? So if they're probably not, but some CPAs want an estate tax return done anyhow, just to prove there's no tax due. You have to pay the ongoing expenses of trust administration, like did you hire a lawyer? Did you hire a CPA? Did you hire an appraiser? You have to continue to pay those bills. You have to liquidate assets. You may have to liquidate assets to either pay off the debts of the deceased, the grantor, or you're going to have to liquidate assets to pay the beneficiaries. Well, you know, so there's a house. Well, you can't divide a house three ways. It's hard. You can, but it's hard. So the house may have to get sold. There's going to be real estate. There's going to be all that kind of stuff. You have to get appraisals. You have to do listings. You have to do all of that kind of stuff. Who's going to do all that? Are you going to invest assets somewhere while you're waiting for all this to close? It has to be safe and prudent. You don't want to go put it in gold mines in Bolivia while the trust is waiting to be closed. So probably a checking account or a short duration CD or a money market account, or which means you got to go open an account somewhere. Who can do that? You have to pay off credit cards. What about digital assets? What do you mean digital assets? Well, mom had a Facebook page. How do you close Facebook? Or her Gmail account? Or she did online banking. How do you close that? Or she did online brokerage accounts. She had an Ameritrade account. I'm not picking on Ameritrade. She did it all online. Well, do you know the passwords to get in there? Because the minute you let Ameritrade, or whoever it is, again, I'm not picking on a Schwab, whoever it is you're doing online with, the account gets closed, or not closed, frozen. Because mom died and they don't know who's in charge. What about automatic drafts from checking accounts like her Medicare supplement or her phone bill or her MasterCard bill? How do you deal with those? I have a list somewhere of all the things I had to do from the time I got to my mom's hospital room until my brother and I sold the house. All the things that had to be done. I can't find it. I've got it somewhere. But it's a very lengthy document. In the first 48 hours, I did a page full of stuff. What about services? Who's going to turn off the water and the power? Who can deal with that and the garbage? What about the pool guy? Do you even know who the pool guy is? What about the gardener? What if they had a housekeeper that hadn't been paid? What about the car? How do you deal with the car? Well, the car wasn't in the trust, Bob. We don't know what to do. Well, do you know how to deal with the car? What if they had an RV? What if they had a mobile home? Mobile homes are really difficult. Believe me. It's hard getting a mobile home into a trust, let alone dealing with it after death. How are you going to deal with all that? Do you keep the gardener for a while to keep the house nice while it's being sold? What if you have to get the house repainted to sell it? Or you have to do land because the realtor says you should repaint the house or do it. How do you do that? Who do you hire to do a garage sale, an estate sale? And where does the money go? Into what account? If you get a check for $5,000 after the end of the garage sale from the whoever did it, where does that money go? Who's authorized to sign a contract with somebody to run the estate sale? What if mom has gold or dad has gold and silver? How do you sell that? Who's authorized to do that? And where does the money go? If you haven't figured it out by now, folks, I can keep going. My point is this. Don't die without it. And if you have it, make sure you understand and your kids understand what their obligations, rights are when you're gone. I talk a lot on this show about what happens when they're not gone. I talk about all the time what happens if somebody's not dead. They're mostly dead. Today, I want to focus, because of what's happening in the United States, I want to focus on what happens if somebody is deceased. How do we begin to deal with all the stuff? And again, I haven't even talked about family fights. One of the things I ask families when they come and talk to me, and they're always kind of amazed when I ask the question, how many children do you have? Well, we got three lovely children, Manny, Moe, and Jack. Do you love Manny, Moe, and Jack? Oh, yeah, we love Manny, Moe, and Jack. Oh, they're our kids. We love our kids. Is there anybody you're concerned about? If there's any hesitation, I want to know who they're concerned about. What happens if you have a disabled child? Who's going to take care of that disabled child? In fact, your child with Down syndrome was living with you, but they're not. You're not there anymore. Who's going to take care of that child? Well, my daughter said she'd always know. Does she have the authority to take care of that child? I don't know. Did you promise the church $30,000, but you didn't put it in the trust? What if you loaned a child $100,000, but you didn't make any provision in the trust for when you're dead? Do they have to pay that back? Is the loan forgiven? Is it subtracted from their inheritance? How are you going to handle that? You want to create problems in a family. There you go. I've been around attorneys that do probates and trust administration, some of them for 30 years, and they will all tell you. In fact, I know one who says, and they say this with tongue in cheek, but with every will, you get a family. Everybody thinks their family is great until it's not. Everybody thinks their family will pull together. I had a psychiatrist tell me once, I've had a couple friends who were psychiatrists. And he said, you know, Bob, interesting thing happens at death. Everybody thinks death pulls families closer together. But he said, that's not true. He said, it simply amplifies whatever dynamic exists in the family. So if the family tends to be a close, supportive family when mom and dad go, they will probably tend to be close and supportive. But if they're dysfunctional, that dysfunction will be amplified. I had a believe it or not, a priest once explained it to me. He called it the empty chair or the chair at the table syndrome. And I said, well, what's that? And he said, well, when everybody's young, everybody sits down to family dinner. And dad sits in one place, and mom sits in another place, and junior sits in another place. and the daughter sits in another place, and the other daughter, they all have their own chair. And over time, things happen. One of them goes off to college, and when they come home, somebody else is sitting in their chair. Maybe it's a girlfriend or a fiance or a spouse of one of the other, but somebody's in their chair. Or one of the grandkids has now taken the chair that they used to have. They used to sit in that chair, but they don't sit in that chair anymore. And he said, not having your chair creates enormous amounts of friction in families, because after mom and dad are gone, I want my chair back. Mom always promised me this. Well, yeah, but she never told. I know, but she always promised me the Van Gogh on the wall. If you have a Van Gogh on the wall, I want to know about it, by the way. I'd love to talk to you. but that kind, and sometimes it's over the silliest, dumbest stuff you can't imagine what it's over. It doesn't have to be something of value. I call it, my name for it until I heard the chair one, was the red wagon effect. And people say, what's a little red wagon effect? But, well, I remember one Christmas, you got a little red wagon, and all I got was a set of encyclopedias. And you got the red wagon, and I didn't want the encyclopedias, and you got the red wagon. So now I'm going to get my red wagon back. Have you had a real sit-down with your family and talked about what your wills, goals, and desires are as a family? Well, Bob, we don't like talking about that. Well, you know what? 90,000 deceased people, more than that now, I wonder how many of them didn't have the chance to talk about this. And now they're talking about it after the fact with all the baggage and load that death and family dynamic bring with it. And I wonder, and I'll never know, and neither will you, how many people died without it. How many people died and had nothing? I don't know the answer to that, and we'll never know the answer to that, but I can tell you it's a lot. Or a better question would be, even if they did have it, how many of them never talked to their kids about it, and it turned out to be inadequate, and they never dealt with that grandchild who has special needs, and they always planned to give their grandchild money to go to college, but they died first without ever giving it, but they promised it, and I can go on and on and on and on. I'm not trying to be Dr. Doom here, but I've been doing this for a long time. And luckily for me, in addition to me doing it for a long time, I've been around a lot of really good professional people who have been doing this for a long time. And here's the other thing that happens in families. Things change. I wanted to leave everything to my son, but my son is married to someone I don't like. And I'm afraid that if I give him money, his wife is going to get all the money, and she's going to go buy a new Porsche with it. Or the money I was going to leave my son for the grandchildren, the wife is going to, or vice versa. I'm not picking on wives. It could be my daughter married a guy that is not a good guy. Or my son, who was a great guy, now has a drug or alcohol problem. And I never wanted to talk about it, and I never dealt with that, but, you know. So, what have we learned today, students? We've learned a couple things. One is life is not manageable. I mean, is not controllable and not predictable. We don't know. When you're born, you've started the path to death. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know how it's going to happen. Is it going to happen suddenly, slowly? Is it going to happen because of a pandemic? Is it going to happen because of a car crash? Is it going to happen because somebody fell down stairs? Is it going to happen because somebody got a cut and wound up with an infection? Is it going to happen because somebody wound up with cancer? Is it going to happen because someone wound up with Alzheimer's? I don't know the answer. I know you need to have the conversation, and I can help. I can help facilitate this conversation. I've been doing it a long time. 800-999-8007. If you're ready to start having the conversation, give me a call. Yes, that's my number, even if you're in Sacramento. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Assetsandaging.com. And you can email me. You can sign up for my next webinar. My next webinar is coming up on the 28th at 6 in the evening. Don't miss my webinar. You can go to my website and sign up. The 28th, it's Thursday the 28th at 6 in the evening, is my next webinar. It's interactive, so you can ask me questions. I might be talking about some of this. I haven't decided yet. But certainly, it will be around the two questions, or the two statements. Don't die without it. And if you do die with it, is it going to be adequate? Does your family know what you want? And have you had the conversation? 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Assetsandaging.com. Thanks so much for joining me. Thanks for the privilege of letting me into your home. Thanks for allowing me to speak my heart and mind at a very difficult time. I hope you've taken this in the spirit in which it was given, which is, it's really important that people are prepared because we just don't know where life is going to take us. We just don't know. 800-999-8007. I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope you enjoy your family. I hope you have each other, hold each other close, and I hope you have the conversation about all of this. Remember, don't die with it, without it, and if you do die with it, make sure it's a good one. Talk to you later. Have a great day.